After we'd had a drink of tea, we went down. I went down and I said to him, I said, who's going with me then? A lad called Frank Tomlinson from Waltoff, he says, I'm going with you. I'll go anywhere with you. I says, right then. I said, we go down. I says, we're going to get out. And we get in between the line. I said, we'll get into a shallow hole and we'll see what the... Because this mine that was going up, it was only about half a mile as the crow flies. We wanted to see what happened, you see. And of course we went and we got into this shallow. And then about 10 minutes after, up it went. And you could see the soil and the vegetation and bushes and small trees. And they seemed to hang about 100 feet up in the air before they started to fall down. Then there was 10 minutes interval before the lads had to go over. That was the signal, so as they'd be ready for going then. And so 10 minutes off, as soon as the whistles went, then over they come. But they never got to us. We were laid there, and and Germans fire their machine guns. We could see them putting them up on the parapets, and bullets were whistling over us, and their high explosive shells were exploding above, so we were in between two fires, and then there were our lads should have come and run over us, really. And then we should have gone, as soon as they're there, if they'd have got into the first trench, we should have followed on. And then we should have run all the length of the line there and to see if they'd left any booby traps, because there's very deep dugouts there.
So, Harry Taylor, you were sort of out of the end of a trench that you dug, and you were effectively in no man's land, really.
Oh, yes, we were. We were only 15 yards off their wire.
Really?
Oh, yes. And yes, you just could see them actually putting the guns up.
And what is it? Your trench had been covered up, and on that day you just burst through the top, did you? More or less.
No, a sap isn't a trench. A sap's like it's a tunnel. You start from the front line, and then you go down. And you go down about 1 in 4. And you get a height of cover about 10 feet. And then you go on the level then. And then you're keeping your direct line where you're making for. You've got no mistakes about that. You've got to know how to read the compass and all the lot, you see. And keep straight. And while we were waiting for that 10 minutes, the Germans were putting the machine guns on the top. We could see them. And it was just like all hell let loose then. The bombardment was still on. They could hear it at Rouen, that was 80 miles away. They could hear it in south of England. It had been going on 10 days, you know, that bombardment. And all of a sudden we heard the lads shout as they, you know, got on the top to set off to run towards us. Everything went sort of dead for a while. And we could actually see them climbing up on top. Some of them never got the second foot on the top of the parapet before they were hit and fell backwards, straight into the trench. They'd even get lame with falling back without being shot. Some of them. Anyhow, after about, we were out roughly about 10 o'clock, that was about 2 hours and a half, everything went quiet all of a sudden. So when it went quiet, I wonder what was wrong. And then, on our left, we saw some Germans coming over out of their trench towards ours. But not direct in front, a bit to our left. Oh, God, I said, they're going to the counter-attacking. And then when we looked again, there's stretchers with them. So they must have made, in a few minutes, a truce. And I said, oh, it's a man. It says, look, it says a white flag up. Oh, I said, I bet they made a truce for it. They're taking out some wounded in some of them. So we said, let's be getting a move on. And as we were going to creep back to drop down into this hole that we made, like, and then go up the south, we heard one chap groaning and moaning. I said, there's a fella here not far away there. So we went back. And we got hold of him and we dragged him in. He was semi-unconscious and we lowered him down into this chamber. And when we lowered him down, all he could say was, don't operate on me, doctor, don't operate on me, doctor. So anyhow, I stripped him his uniform off and I took his coat off and that and turned his shirt up and he had a big gash in his side. Oh dear, I said, we can't bandage this up. Anyhow, I said, we put a towel, get the towel out of his kit bag. And he got his towel out of his kit bag and we put that on and put two safety pins and put it around to try and make it stop bleeding and clot, you see, that's all we could do. Well, when we wanted to go up our end, up the entrance then, to come out, well, these other chaps had been left there for to guide the trench mortar chaps in. Now, what happened? The wounded to get underneath, to get out of cupboard, and it were blocked up, we couldn't get up. Because it was only 4 foot high and 2 foot six wide, and you can understand if there's about two or three bodies laid on top of one another, and you don't know which is which, and nothing. And we only had I had a torch, that was all we had. Because we hadn't no candles lit down there then. And anyhow, we had to squeeze through best way we could. We went on our hands and knees, and we finally got to the top. And all that distance, and that distance would be roughly about 200 yards. And we had to creep all that way, and there were still all the bodies in there like that.
You're climbing over the bodies?
Creeping over the top of them. And his backs were rubbing up against the ceiling. Anyhow, when we got to the end and come out, and I said, what a mess. I've never seen as many dead bodies in a trench within a few yards. So I said, is any rum in that bottle? He said, yes. I said, give us one here. And we had a good swag. So, raw rum it was. We had a good drink of it. So I says, drum some tea up. I said, well, I get set to and let's get see if I can clear some of these out. And as they were pulling them out, the others and them were wounded and some could walk and some couldn't. We bandaged them up. I don't know how many bandaged up. I must have bandaged more than 100 up. And a little surgery besides that. You know, some of them were wounded and bulleted it and equipment and probably gone through it and it had gone flat then onto the body instead of pointing, you see. And we had to flick him out with his knife and put the bandage on. And then we took them to where they could get out the communication centre. He took them, they were taking them there, but could walk and hobble best way they could to get to the first aid dressing post. When we got more or less a lot of them cleared, there were still the dead bodies. We left the dead bodies there to the relief section, come up to the relief, we left them for them to move them. And there must have been at least 50 dead bodies in there, to my knowledge.
In the trench or in the sap?
No, in the sap.
In the sap?
Oh, yes. Never seen as many dead bodies.